Infectious disease specialist and professor at Florida International University, Dr. Eileen Marty, joining us now. Dr. Marty, I was reading about this fruit recall and listeria, Illinois, one of the states involved, and I was thinking, you're the person to ask this question. Do you wash your fruits with just water, or do you use one of those special solutions?
So I do wash my fruit, and I generally use just water to wash the fruit, depending on where it's from. But it's a matter of, how much time you do it with and how you do it. And it depends on the type of fruit, because some fruit tolerate washing better than others, right? Blackberries, for example, and they don't tolerate washing as well as others. But the fruits that are of concern for the listeria outbreak are very particular fruits that were discovered from a particular manufacturer, and of course the CDC put out a notice about that, as it normally does, because the CDC has a branch that specializes in foodborne outbreaks, and so they're constantly monitoring for these various foodborne outbreaks. So I do. I wash my fruits absolutely before I eat them. But, mm-hmm. Of course, how I wash them depends on the fruit.
Yeah, this recall is for, peaches, plums, nectarines, and some of those listeria cases here in Illinois. That brings to mind Thanksgiving meals and turkey, and you're dealing with raw meat. What do we need to know about that to stay healthy and survive Thanksgiving, even if you survive the political debates?
Yeah, oh my God. Bottom line is, it's a really important thing to not mix meats with raw foods, right? So you absolutely want to handle them with different cutting boards. You want to wash your hands in between. We used to always recommend 60 seconds of hand washing. For whatever reason, now the CDC is saying 20 seconds, and I suspect it's just like you have to do something, right? Mm-hmm, at least 20 yeah. seconds is better than nothing, mm-hmm. which is a very good idea. But you definitely always want to wash your hands before you're handling any food. Of course, if you go to the bathroom, after you do that, wash your hands, changing a diaper, handling pets, tending to somebody who's sick, if you blow your nose, cough, sneeze, all those sorts of things. And absolutely, if you're handling any kind of poultry, any kind of raw meat, fish, their juices, eggs, all those things are really important. If you happen to have cuts or what have you, then you should actually wear gloves. Otherwise, just wash your hands. And again, the CDC says 60 seconds. The other thing that you should pay attention to is how you cook the meat, all right? So there are different, the only sure way to know that whatever you're cooking is free of the things like listeria and so forth, all these different types of foodborne, salmonella, by the way, that's the most common problem, is to have a thermometer, a food thermometer. And when you're talking about poultry, including turkey, it should be at 165 degrees Fahrenheit, so that's like 74 Celsius. So that's really, it's a high temperature to have safe poultry. Mm-hmm. It's a little lower for other foods, and the only one that you can sort of tell without a food thermometer is, of course, fish, because fish will change colors and become flaky at the point at which it's safe to eat.
Before we let you go, Dr. Marty, do you know anything about this? I know you're not a veterinarian, but this canine infectious respiratory disease has dog owners worried. What do you know about that?
Yeah, so actually I know quite a bit, because we do a lot of, worrying about zoonotic diseases is a big deal. And this is not zoonotic. There are a number of different viruses and bacteria that are known to cause these respiratory illnesses in dogs, and including distemper, by the way. But what's been going on now is that the usual suspects have proven negative on testing, right? So these various different bacteria and viruses that can lead to these symptoms in dogs, there's an increased risk if the dog is going to be amongst other dogs. That's why the syndrome is sometimes called kennel cough, right? Mm-hmm. And what we're trying to figure out now is what's the best treatment for the new suspected bacteria that seems to be involved. It's most likely a mycoplasma, because several different mycoplasmas can cause this syndrome in dogs. And that just means using the right antibiotic, because if it's a mycoplasma, then penicillins and other types of antibiotics that attack the cell walls of bacteria are not going to work, because mycoplasmas don't have cell walls, right? So you have to use an antibiotic that's going to specifically target something like the ribosome of those bacteria. And that's the key thing, is, you know, to know what is actually causing the so-called kennel cough or canine respiratory syndrome.
So, meantime, I guess the message is keep your dog out of the dog park, right?
Yeah, for now, right. I mean, that's going to reduce the risk of, you know, crowding situations. Just like Thanksgiving is a crowding situation. So we've seen COVID cases go down since September, except in the wastewater. It's starting to creep up, and people are gathering from all over the place. So we're going to see an increase in respiratory diseases, including SARS-CoV-2 respiratory disease. Oh, by the way, there's a really interesting new study that's definitely shown that one of the reasons that RSV went up in children is because of underlying having had SARS-CoV-2, so having had COVID led to that increase in RSV. So all these things sort of compile on each other.
Dr. Eileen Marty, we are very thankful for your expertise every week, and we appreciate you keeping us healthy. I hope you have a great holiday.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you. Thank you.